423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chad Gooner, on the Twitter. And tonight we have Shelly and Shabby on the call. Todd is not with us tonight. He is watching some soccer down in North Georgia, as he likes to do. We do have a special guest with us tonight on the podcast, Ellie Godden, who many of you might know her as the capo extraordinaire in the front of Section 109, the hot blue pants. We'll talk to her a little bit later about her history.
Poor Ellie, that's all we're ever going to talk about for her. I think she's more than just shiny blue pants.
Well, you put it in here. You put "come see Ellie in her shiny blue pants" on the agenda.
We didn't expect you to read things, Jim.
So we're going to talk with Ellie in just a little bit. Shabby, how are things? Well, now we know we've got two people on the call who are on the other side of the river over there in Hickson. Shabby, how are things over there on the wrong side of the river?
It's the great side of the river, and things are going fantastic over here. I don't have to fight through traffic to get anywhere.
Okay. Shots fired. Shelly, how are things on just a couple blocks over in the other part of Brainerd?
Well, much more peaceful now that I've actually made it home after my hour and 45-minute commute from the other side of the river.
Yeah, see? That's what happens when you go to the other side of the river. Bad things happen.
Bad things happen.
Yeah, but one of the better people from the other side of the river that we're going to get to meet tonight is Ellie. Ellie, how are you doing in your area of Hickson, close to Big Ridge, right? So how are things over there?
Doing pretty good. Happy to just have a beautiful night. It's been such a nice day today. Oh, love it.
Yes, it was really nice.
It really has. Man, have we gotten good weather? Even though there was that weird wind, like that crazy wind advisory, it has been pretty breezy, but you know.
I know. It's been a good day though. Really nice. Other than the little bit of overcast, it turned out to be very pretty.
It did.
So, this is now the 423 weather pod.
No, it's not. It's not.
Can we please have "It's Raining Men" as our call?
No, fine. We can have maybe we can have Jonathan on, and you can talk to him about masculine precipitation. So,
and there, ladies and gentlemen, you have it. The title of today's episode.
Right. So Ellie, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I can't remember if you tweeted out something about your other podcast or the podcast tweeted out that you were there. And so me being a smart aleck, I was just like, hey, she's practicing for the pros or maybe for some time spending with us. And you responded and then I responded and then here. You're here on a Thursday night talking to us about soccer. Could you talk to us a little bit about how you got into the sport? You were telling us a little bit right before we started recording that you're fairly new to the sport and you're learning, which is, you know, none of us here know anything. So we're right there with you. How did you get involved with soccer and why what caused you to fall in love with the beautiful game?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've only been a soccer fan for, I like to say, I guess it's about 4 or 5 years now. It's really recent. Well, everyone else was picking up all those like hobbies during quarantine. I was learning soccer. I was quarantined at home with my older brother, who is a really, really, really big soccer fan. And in fact, introduced me to CFC and everything. And he was watching the Premier League, and I didn't have anything else to do and decided, you know what, like, he's doing something and I want someone to talk with, like, let's watch some soccer. And started seeing like Christian Pulisic and Americans in the Premier League and seeing like we were good at soccer, and I was just blown away. I didn't know anything. I hadn't even thought about it, and was just automatically, just off the bat, was like, this is kind of cool. And I think I want to start figuring more, like learning more about this and start diving into this a little bit more. And so watched more frequently, started to kind of ask questions, set aside time to learn, looking on Twitter, looking on Instagram, just trying to like learn as much as possible. And at that point, it kind of just has snowballed.
Yeah. So when if you were watching Premier League, what team would you be watching?
Right now, it's funny because I started out, I was a Chelsea fan because they had
But yes, first strike,
Okay. But this does change around a little bit because honestly, I wouldn't say that I have a Premier League team anymore. I don't really watch any team. I watch any game that has a prospect or player that would play on the national team for US. So I watch Leeds. Okay. If Matt Turner is in goal for Arsenal, I watch Arsenal. If
that's the right answer, by the way. Arsenal is always the right answer.
If you know,
I mean, Eunice sure. If you like losers.
Ellie speaking. Ellie, I'm sorry for their interruptions.
No, you're good. So yeah, I like, I'm watching all of these things. I watch the Turkish league sometimes. I watch the Dutch league sometimes. So I don't know if I can claim any team right now. I think the closest I have is Leeds because they have three Americans. And so I watch them pretty consistently, but that's just because they have the players that I'm scouting and I'm looking at and I'm analyzing.
Okay. So, the Leeds United States fan. So that is right now. I guess they've got what, McKinney, they've got Tyler Adams. Who's the third?
Brendan Aaronson.
Oh, okay. I forgot about him. I forgot. And they used to have an American coach. We'll see where he lands. So you really got bit hard by the soccer bug, it sounds like. How did that turn into, you said your brother introduced you to CFC. How did you kind of fall into the Chattahooligan trap?
Yeah. So I grew up in Chattanooga. I used to go to games when I was young, but completely ignored everything until I started watching soccer and started learning about soccer. I had no idea what was happening. But when I started watching soccer and I started getting really into it, I started realizing how fun it was to have like a fan base around you and how much I enjoyed supporting with other people. And so my older brother, who has been a soccer fan for so long, it's not even funny, and has all these, like, loves to drum and is very musical. He has been a CFC supporter for quite a while. And when I was home for breaks, I would tell him how much I was annoyed that I didn't have something to support and I didn't have any games I could go to or anything like that. And he asked me why I wasn't going to CFC games and joining the Chattahooligan section. And I blew him off for a little bit. It took me a little bit to finally, like, actually think about soccer at home and actually, like, I was really holding on to the, like, but it's not Premier League soccer kind of thing, which was not, like, I learned really fast, not it. And went to my first game and sat in the section and finally, like, paid attention and immediately fell in love. He brought a drum with him and I played the drum as much as I could. And I watched Breezy on the capo stand and was just floored and knew that I had to start coming back and started trying to find ways to be more consistent. But I was in college. I just graduated. I just moved home. And so my first season was I started last summer. That was the first time I could consistently go to games and actually be a part of the group and actually support.
So we've talked about, how you got here. So that's a good segue into, you said you saw Breezy on the capo stand. And obviously I've been at AO matches in Nashville whenever you were there as well. So kind of explain to us how you made your way up onto the capo stand.
I mean, the first time I saw the capo stand and I saw what people were doing on the capo stand, the first game I went to where I kind of paid attention to any of it, I mean, I started asking, like, how do I get up there and how do I start chanting? How do I start helping from, you know, up there? I want to sing and dance, and I want to just be like with the crowd and join and be super loud and all those things. And the game you talked about in Nashville, I was right by the drum section. And so they had armbands that had all the chants on them. So I walked up to a drummer and I like tapped them on the shoulder and I was like, can I see your armband? And I held their arm and took a picture of the armband so that I could read the chants and lead the section from my seat, and like loved it. And once I started going to CFC games, I was like, this is it. Like, I want to be up on that stand singing and cheering and chanting and screaming. And so my first CFC game when I came back from the summer, like, asked Breezy, was like, hey, I want to try this. Do you have people to teach me? How do I do this? What can I do to do this? And he immediately started training me, started teaching me, welcomed me in wholeheartedly, and just from there, it's just snowballed and has just been the most amazing thing.
I love that so much, because I think people don't realize that when you're looking at an organization and a supporters group, and it's all volunteers and it's all people just driven by their own interest, like we want you to come up to us and be like, hey, what can I do? Let me jump in here. Like, this is not, you know, an elite group and we're trying to like keep people out. Like, no, please come up. We will put you on that stand. Like, I love this so much. And I love that you felt embraced and welcomed, because that's exactly what this is about.
It's like, this group has changed my life. I can't say enough. And I'm so glad, like, I had my older brother to kind of help me find everything and kind of get my footing under me enough to realize what I could do. But I can't say enough how important it has been having the Chattahooligans, having CFC, having like this group that absolutely, and I learn from every game I go to, I don't always get to watch the game, fully. I watch it here and there.
Yep.
Yep. But that's the downside.
Yeah, but I go afterwards and I talk to people beforehand and I learn at everything, and I have just loved learning and having people there to, like, I can say I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I absolutely have no idea what I'm doing. I still don't fully understand. Half of the time the crowd will start screaming things and all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, I think we need to start yelling things. Something happened. I don't know what. We will do that. Boo! Bad!
Oh, yeah.
So, it's been amazing. It's such a good group, and I can't recommend it to anyone enough, and do recommend it to as many people as possible.
So you have to tell us the story of the blue pants. I know we're not going to, you're more than your blue pants. So I discussed that, but you are readily identifiable now, by standing up front for as many times as you have. And, you know, now you're the young woman in the blue pants. So how did that come about? And was it just serendipity, or are those your favorite capo pants? I don't know. I mean, how did that happen?
They are my favorite capo pants, but it didn't start. I didn't have any capo pants until I started capoing. I didn't have anything in that way. I went to college just like everyone else, and I saw people wearing those shorts out and about, to like events where you had to dress up, and I always thought they were super cool, and I always wanted a pair, and I just kind of thought for a soccer game, if I was going to be, you know, screaming and cheering, like I wanted something kind of loud and out there to like encourage me to be loud and out there and kind of like let me kind of break out a little bit. And like, I'm not necessarily that loud and kind of, you know, dancing and singing and like in my normal life. But once the pants go on, like it's almost like a like little thing comes on and I kind of get to let go a little bit and just have my crazy fun time, which is awesome.
I love that. It's like your uniform. It's like your costume, yeah. Your uniform. Like you it put it on and you put on the character. Yeah. Beautiful.
Love it. Well, as we are about to encroach on our very new season coming up, what are you most excited for? Is there something that you're looking forward to the most? Or, I mean, cause you were obviously there at our friendly that we all got to go to against Atlanta United. But past that, what are you most looking forward to for the season?
I think I'm just most excited to be here for a full season and, like, get to be around everyone and get to see what it's like to be in town with a soccer club all season long and get to just have time to just enjoy being around people, getting to, you know, sing and dance and support everything, learning more about the other teams and about everything. It's just, I feel like it's another chance to learn and grow and just see where it all takes me. Just enjoy life.
That's beautiful. But I will let you know up front, the way the last couple of years have gone between the pandemic and Nisa being Nisa, you know, I think we're all wondering what it's like to be with a team that's like, it's all the whole season long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a minute since we've had what you might call
a normal
season.
I know. Right. Atlanta United, you know, we talked about a little bit about it last week. It was the most normal pre-pandemic feeling that we've had in a long, long time. Like packed out, full crowds, 109 was packed out. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that that's a good telltale sign of things to come this season.
Oh, so, you know, the club put out a question today, like when was your first game? And you know, I think it got a lot of people thinking. Actually, it got me to go through and look at some of my old pictures. And I found a gif I took from the first Atlanta friendly with
all that earlier.
With, huh?
I with saw the, that earlier.
Yeah, with the Patriots flag. So I had to I'm ashamed of myself for not sharing that during the week of the Atlanta friendly. And you said you started to come to games a little bit earlier, but you really didn't pay attention. But what would you say if you were to, what was your first CFC game then? When was it would you say it was just last year, or what do you remember most about it?
The very first game that I can say I remember and would probably say I was fully like aware of what was going on and what like I was stepping into. Oh gosh, it was 2 seasons ago. It wasn't last season, it was the season before. And it was like an August game. It was, I don't even think it was that big of a game. It was the last game that I had before I went away to college. And so I went to this game and figured out how much I loved everything and then immediately went to college and spent most of the semester being like, man, I really want to go to these games. This is like, I'm so sad I'm missing out. And so the second game I went to was the very last game of the season against Stumptown at Stumptown because it was super close to my college. I had my older
brother. Oh, that's right.
And we both drove to the game and then drove back to my college and then drove home from there. And so the two games I remember the game before I went to college, but the game that I remember like most vividly is that Stumptown game.
Yeah. A road game. So
yeah,
a true CFC warrior.
Love it.
Well, you know, you've mentioned that you kind of, I don't want to say you center your soccer fandom, but maybe that's a fair way of saying it, around the United States men's national team, or maybe the national teams. And so I'm interested. I know that you do a podcast with your, I think it's your, you do it with your brother and maybe some other folks. So you've not only gotten bit by the soccer bug, you've also gotten bit by this strange thing, like your podcasting. So how did that start and how is that going for you?
Yeah. So I'm a part of a podcast. It's called Soccer Pod. You can find us on Twitter. YouTube. We have a Discord. It's awesome. I got involved with it because my older brother got involved with it. He and another big U.S. soccer fan connected online and decided they wanted to make a podcast. And so they did just that. It's been around, I want to say, for about 2 years now. I think they're going on to their third year this year. And so they've just been doing, like, they've been analyzing the U.S. soccer teams. It's not just U.S. men's national team. We have videos about youth national team, about the women, about everything. And so they've been doing this podcast for quite a long time. And they recently I got involved. I'm just out of college and luckily I've had some free time with leaving college and having just a little bit of space of, you know, being home and having a summer job and lots of other like little things, and just has worked out that I've had the time to get to work on production with them. So I've been helping out with their Twitter content and stuff like that. And so recently got to sit down with them and they asked if I wanted to join and be a co-host on the podcast. And so I've only done 2 episodes so far, but I'm trying to hop in as much as possible and join mostly as that like new soccer fan who has a lot of questions. For me, it's super important for people who are just getting into soccer, especially after the World Cup, or just trying to figure out, like, just like me, that soccer is super fun and super exciting, that they have someone that they can, like, look to who hasn't been analyzing games for millions of years and doesn't remember the 2005, you know, big game or something. I don't know any of that. And I sit on this podcast and I get to sit there and be like, I didn't know about that, but I'm super glad I learned now. So you can teach me anything. Yeah. And also, like, I'm happy to, like, put my input where I need to. But a lot of it is just I'm so happy to get to go on and learn from these people and talk about the thing that I really love, and kind of throw my hat in the ring. But also, like, my favorite part, I just have really, really, really loved learning about everything and kind of taking everything in like a little sponge. So it's a really fun podcast to be a part of, where it's just such a good group. They're such a sweet, just everyone. I cannot talk highly enough about the group that I get to podcast with.
So what would you say? I'm interested in someone who's really new to the sport. What still confuses you, or maybe not confuses, what do you still look at around the culture of the sport, and you look at it and go, what the heck is this? I mean, what are you still like, why do they do these things?
There seems to be the thing that I think I come across the most is all of the just different regulations and different rules and tiny, like, just the tiny things that I can't quite wrap my head around. I still have a lot of things that I'm picking up about lower league soccer and about how that works. And I feel like I learn something new every single day, about the different levels and about, you know, how they interact with each other and, you know, the regulations on who can get what players on what teams and just the small things. I'm also still kind of picking up rules on occasions. I still don't always understand. I still sit there and watch and I'm like, oh, wait, is that a corner? I think that's a corner. It might not be, though. I don't know.
I was going to say, if you have a question about the offsides rule, we do have a scarf for that.
That is true.
Scarf. I love that scarf so much.
It is still our best-selling scarf. And the best part is we could get no orders for months, like, because we sell, you know, match day or whatever. But I swear, like, out of a blue, like, 2 people from the West Coast will order it to be sent to them. And it's so funny. Every time it pops up, it makes me laugh.
I was told about that scarf, and the very first thing I did was go and try and find it. Because I was like, I need to figure out this rule. And if there's a scarf that has it printed on there, what an easy way to learn this rule. That's fantastic. I need that scarf so that I can learn this thing.
Yeah. Now we just need to create a VAR scarf now. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not sure what that will look like, but.
Oh my.
Yeah, Ellie, you're not alone. I mean, actually, you know, just a couple weeks ago, in a Premier League game, I mean, half the world was confused about the offside rule. So, you know, in like Manchester United, I can't remember who they were playing. Was it City? Maybe Manchester City. I think it was in the Derby that half the world didn't understand the call that was made. So you're not alone. And if you're tipping your toes into lower league soccer, bless your heart. I don't know. That's a thorny patch you're jumping into, especially considering that, you know, Chattanooga is kind of in the crossroads of a lot of those conversations. So you're in the right place to learn a lot about all that stuff. So, but we're all still trying to figure that out.
Well, I'm glad to have a group to learn it with.
Sharing is caring. We learn together.
So let's talk a little bit about like what's coming up next. You know, we've got some preseason games, and we did have the Atlanta United game, and we've got a couple more. You know, Ellie, you get to learn a lot about lower leagues because one thing I love about CFC, and I think is something special. You know, we are playing a team from all levels of the professional game or the professional men's game in preseason. And then we're also playing a collegiate team and an amateur team. So basically all levels of the men's game in the United States, we're going to play somebody who represents that in the preseason. And that not a lot of clubs can say that. I mean, I've harped on it a couple of weeks now in a row. Are you looking forward to any particular match coming up this preseason?
I'm really looking forward to the one Knoxville FC game. I have friends going to the game, and I just am really excited to. I've heard about one Knoxville. I just am excited to meet their fan base. I feel like I see them all the time on Twitter. And just around, and so I'm kind of excited to see them at Finley, and they're, you know, maybe at the tailgates before and after and get to talk to them and meet them.
Well, and some of our Knoxville hooligans, they've really been instrumental in getting their supporters group up and going. And not in one Knox, I've talked to several of them, and they've got their tickets and coming down, so they're very, really, really excited. Because obviously, in the pandemic, whenever we finally were able to open up and come to games, it was harder for them to get down here. So a lot of them said they're really excited to come see all of the hooligans and be back at Finley. So it's going to be fun. It's like they'll be a person divided because it's their original team plus their current hometown team.
Yeah, I was about to say, are they still Knoxville, hard Knoxville hooligans, or are they traitors to one Knoxville? Have they crossed over to the dark side?
I don't think they've crossed over to the dark side because they still follow CFC and,
okay, good.
And what right, we're doing. Good. So yeah, I think, yeah, it's just, you know, now they, if you think about it too, Knoxville has had so many failed clubs, bless them. So to finally have that's one true. That's actually knock on wood sticking so far, I mean, that's good for them. So
it really did confuse me because Knoxville's a bigger, I mean, in some ways, Knoxville's a bigger soccer town than Chattanooga mm-hmm. is. I mean, it's at least.
And yet they couldn't ever have a club to last.
Yeah. I mean, on the youth level, they've got, you know, they've got the three or four really strong academies. And you know why they couldn't, you know why they could never really make one stick. And you know, I think it's interesting. And I don't know if you guys saw the news that a couple of the youth academies are merging and kind of creating the one Knoxville USL Academy mm-hmm. Team. So I think it's the Knoxville Reds and the Crush. I think are merging to form kind of their one Knoxville Academy, and then. There's also a new MPSL team out of Knoxville called, I think it's, was it Alliance 865, something like that. But it's kind of on top of FC Alliance, which is one of the better clubs in the area and one that CFC Academy actually partners with. And some of our players will move and play on Knoxville teams too. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm interested in seeing what type of fan base they bring. I'm very interested to see what type of fan base Huntsville City brings. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm going to continue to talk about this throughout the season. I think they're going to be one of the more intriguing clubs to watch because of the fact that they are an out of market two team for an MLS club. It's going to be very interesting to see what type of fan base they build and what that might mean for the future of Next Pro. Because you know, Next Pro takes a lot of crap for being just a reserve league and nobody really cares about it. And I think Huntsville City is trying to do something a little different. It'll be interesting to see if that works. So have you watched any of that, Ellie? I know that you, you're just now getting kind of acclimated to the lower leagues, but have you watched Next Pro and its relationship to MLS?
I've been looking at it and I've been trying to like figure out exactly what's going on.
So are we. So is everybody else.
That's sadly the truth.
Yeah, I was watching it, especially when all the drama was happening with NISA. I was looking really closely at MLS Next Pro and USL and just trying to figure out the leagues in case something really bad happened. And yeah.
I like how you put NISA drama in the past tense. Like,
yeah, I mean, it still exists. I mean, I know we don't have any sushi currently, but it's still there. Sushi and pizza haven't happened for a while.
Yeah, remember when all of that nonsense happened with Nisa? Yeah, I believe that was Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. 5 hours ago.
30 minutes ago.
So along the lines of some news that did come out, we've talked about this for the past couple of weeks, but the women's tryouts are a couple of weeks, February 18th. We did get some kind of league news from WPSL, and I know Shabby, you were very interested in talking about this. I'll lead with you, and you can kind of lead this conversation. What about it is most exciting to you, Shabby? And Ellie, I'm interested in kind of your take since your new CFC fandom almost aligned with the return of the women's team. I'm interested in kind of what you think about the club's take on the women's game and where you think it's going. So Shabby, first to you, hell yeah, sister, WPSL Pro.
WPSL Pro. Okay. So Here's the thing, right? Like, we've got to see women's pro soccer grow. Mm-hmm. Like, this has got to happen. And I think here's our opportunity to come in at a ground level. You know, they're announcing they want to do this by, 2025? Like, that's
just around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, it's soon, but it's not like, okay, this year, you know, like, this is something that we can build to. We've been talking about the slow build of the women's team and like, how do we get them into pro space as well? And I'm like, here's our door. Like, here, we've got a path. There's a ladder. I can clearly see it. We can climb there. And that's why I'm so excited.
So I know.
Go, Jim.
No, go ahead,
Jill. Well, no, to go along with Shabby, you know, we've been talking about how we knew whenever CFC brought the women's team back, we, you know, all of us that have been around and, you know, Shabby and I were part of the women's advisory board and then, you know, just fans of CFC and wanting to see the women's team come back. It's like, you know, we want it eventually for us to become pro. I have a women's pro team, but it was hard to see the forest for the trees a little bit because we know that was our goal. That was our end game that we wanted to see happen. But it was like, but when and how? And now with this announcement, it just seems more real. Like it could happen and will happen sooner than we were hoping for. And that makes me very, very excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, they want to start, they say, you know, in their press release, they said they wanted to start in 2025, that they want to start with 10 teams. And then by 2030, there'd be 24 teams. Like maybe we're not ready in 2025. Cool.
No.
Maybe we're not there yet.
2026, you know,
but you know, we could definitely be an expansion team soon. Like I think long-term, while no one at the front office at CFC was ever willing to commit to, yes, we're going to go pro and yes, it's going to be at a certain timetable. Like, we can see now what a timetable could look like. We can build towards something, and we've got something to build to which is a step one, really, really important. it's because we can build off the roadmap of what the men's team did, because we want to still continue to build it right and build it slow and continue our, you know, grassroots community led drive. Like, that's the ethos of this club, and we're not going to change that. So this is exciting to me because I feel like this dovetails in really well with what we always saw as our long-term vision.
So I'm interested in kind of what you think about, you know, since you were right here when, for the beginning of the kind of the relaunch of the women's team, and now there's this another option. You know, the, I guess USL is going to have the Super League, which is a Division II women's league, and then now WPSL has announced that, you know, they're going to kind of jump in with the D3 league. I'm interested, like, your take on the women's game, you know, and what you think CFC's role in that should be.
So here's the thing. I'm happy for it to be a D3 team because I think that's where we can start. And it's not to throw any shade on our players or our ability or our club or anything like that. I'm just saying this has always been about building slow so that we build it right and we do it in baby steps. And considering we already have a partnership with WPSL, like this, it's just such a smooth transition.
Yes, Shabby, but I was asking Ellie.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Ellie,
I'll go back on mute because I'm not allowed to share my opinion.
You can share your opinion. We love your opinion. Ellie,
Jim has silenced us once again. Thanks,
I'm
Jim.
I'm not silencing anybody. But Ellie, I'm interested just because you're kind of, when you came back to the club or started kind of really seriously, it almost kind of tracks along with the rebirth of the women's team. So what do you think CFC's place should be in the women's game, and what do you think this announcement for a D3 league means for us?
I think it means really good things for us. I am super new to everything, and was, because I came in halfway through the season, didn't get to see half as much women's matches as I would have liked to. But I will say that I think the start of this whole new league, I think it opens doors for us, and I do think that it's a really good chance for us to bring. I think something that's so special about CFC is the connection with the fans and just how much we're community supported, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to further bring that kind of atmosphere into more, you know, professional women's soccer, and kind of, I don't know, just like we've done with lower league soccer for the men, do the same thing with the women and kind of set our flag as, you know, we're that community team, we're supported by our fans, we, you know, we sit there and we are going to absolutely do what we have to do to support our club, and having a professional team, I think it's a really awesome door for us, and I think it's a great way for us to kind of maybe grow community-based soccer in the women's leagues as well.
I think, Ellie, you're spot on, and that was beautifully said. And I love the heart and the spirit that you bring to everything you do, and you're willing to jump in, and you get it. And so I'm just so thankful that you're with us.
I'm so thankful to be here. I'm so glad to have found this whole community. This CFC is, and I mean, I'm going to just keep echoing how new I am, but I cannot speak volumes enough from what I've seen of how special CFC is and how amazing it is to have that community that just surrounds everything and makes every single thing special. Like, it's incredible to see.
Yeah, I think it's really nice to hear from someone with some fresh eyes. You know, when you're involved in something for a while, you can start to get you start to miss things you start to take maybe things for granted that other people do not. One of the really joys of doing this for the past couple of years has been talking to people kind of all over the country when CFC has played kind of their club, to talk to them about how they view CFC from afar. And you just, it was really humbling to hear people talk about the club that I kind of took for granted from 2010 until 2018. I don't take it as much for granted now as I did then. And hearing someone who's new and excited and can see the club in a new light is really refreshing for me. And so I really enjoy hearing, talking to you tonight. And, I will say, watching you these past, several games and matches, and just your energy and the smile and everything you bring to the Capo stand and to the Section 109, it's just a really nice, fresh infusion of energy that I think has really added something that to that section. And I don't sit in that section a lot. I occasionally do. I sit in the back with Shabby sometimes, but it's just been a real joy to see you kind of find the club and the club find you. And it's been really great to talk to you tonight. And I appreciate everything you do for us.
I appreciate y'all. Like, I can't say it enough. Absolutely. Thank y'all so much.
Hey, so before we go, the one thing I like to do to end is to talk about what's making us smile this week. So, Ellie, since you're our guest, I'll give you the honors. What's making you smile this week?
So this week I just started a new job. So starting to kind of get my feet under me and kind of develop my life in Chattanooga. So it's just making me smile to make that really big first step and just, finding all my communities, kind of getting my feet under me with helping with podcasts, with the soccer podcast I'm a part of, and just kind of getting my feet under me everywhere. And that job has just added that one last piece of stability that I really needed.
That is great. Awesome. Shabby, what's making you smile this week?
Well, I just got the news as of about an hour and a half ago. My brother and sister-in-law just had their second child, so I am an aunt again. So a shout out to baby Marco to join the world today.
Wow. Today. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Marco.
I'm so excited. Wow.
Yep. Shelly, how about you? What's making you smile?
Well, I am sad that I finished up jury duty because I almost got on a murder trial this week. I was one away and I was really hoping. But tomorrow I'm heading out of town for a girls' weekend. So, Kate and Zach got married last April. And for Kate's bachelorette party, the bridesmaids and her, we took her like on a cabin weekend. So we've decided to make it like an annual tradition. So all of us, the bridesmaids and Kate, we're going to LJ this weekend for a girls' weekend. So we're going to go to some wineries and like just hang out and play games and do all of that at the cabin that we rented. So I'm very excited.
I was going to ask what exotic location you were jetting off to now. I guess
exotic location of LJ, Georgia.
I mean,
we did Blue Ridge. Oh, it will. Yeah, we did Blue Ridge last year, and we did hiking, and we did wineries. Then we did brunch on the way home. So I had tons and tons of fun. We decided to do LJ this time just because it was somewhere different. So two of the bridesmaids live in the Atlanta area, and then the rest of us, I mean, the other three of us here in Chattanooga. So we try to pick somewhere that's kind of like an equidistant. And they actually came up, some of y'all met them, Caroline and Christina, they came up to a CFC match this last season. So the metropolis of LJ is where we're going. But they've got a lot of wineries.
Apple capital of the world, they say.
Yes, apples. Yeah. There are Georgia, lots of wineries. We have several that we're going to. Each of us picked one of the meals that we're like doing like for like the whole group. So I'm doing brunch on Saturday. So I'm getting all that ready to go.
LJ is beautiful. I like, they have an apple festival down there that we go to. So it's,
I know, it's been years, like years and years since I've been there. So I'm really excited to actually to go back. Obviously, it's not like peak apple season, but yeah, at least it'll be a pretty area. So.
But, you know, it's a little different than you jet setting off to Finland or Shabby going to Hawaii. I am going to Bogota,
you know, soon.
Oh, yeah, so, but right, Colombia. So, I get stuck in Brainerd and these two. And Todd, frankly, like last year, every time I turned around, Todd was on some beach.
But just remember, Jim, so, we invite you to come to things for like CFC road trips and you didn't come. Yeah, so I mean,
it's my own fault.
It's your own fault. So you can redeem yourself this season, you know, once Nisa finally gives us a schedule.
As soon as I find out when the Savannah matches are, if we go there more than once, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know who we're playing or when, but if we go to Savannah more than once, we're going to schedule some trips. So anyway, what's making me smile this week? Glad you asked.
I do want to know what's making you smile.
So this week, no Nordic Noir. So I don't have a new. Okay. Well, there are several new ones that I'm kind of looking into, but what I have started is Poker Face. Has anybody else started watching Poker Face on Peacock? No,
I have not watched it. No, I have not watched it, but I keep getting on my podcasts and then on TV. Like I keep getting things saying it's recommended for me. So is it good? Like I mean, it sounds good.
It is. It's really good. So it's produced by Rian Johnson. So if you like, and created by him. So if you like the Knives Out, you will quickly get the look of it. It also has kind of a Coen Brothers feel to it. So, if you like the Coen Brothers movies, you might like it.
I really like Natasha Lyonne. So that's I was going to say
if you know the lead character is played by Natasha Lyonne, Charlie Cale, she's really good in it. It's kind of a rotating cast. And with basically Natasha and Benjamin Bratt being the only two kind of continuous characters. Okay. So it's episodic. They basically go, it's like Murder, She Wrote on the Road. If Angela Lansbury, drank a whole lot. So.
What a description.
A whole lot. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And wore cowboy boots and short jean cutoffs. But
I love it.
Well,
yeah.
Wow. It's hard to think of Mrs. Potts that way, but okay.
Yeah. This is not Mrs. This is not your mom's Mrs. Potts. I'll just tell you that. So, it really is. It's fun. It's funny. It's good. If you like that format where you see something happen and then you go back and kind of figure out what led to that. It's really good. So a friend of mine put me onto it and we watched a couple. So it's, you can kind of binge the first four or five episodes and then it comes out every, I don't know, Thursday or Friday. I don't remember exactly when it comes out, but,
okay.
So that's it. Yeah. If you haven't started watching it, find it on Peacock and it is a fun watch. So that's it for this week. Ellie, where can people find you on the interwebs if they want to talk to you or try to educate you more about lower league soccer?
You can find me on Twitter. My handle is @GoddenEllie. That's probably the easiest location. Or catch me on the It's Called Soccer Discord. If you go on the It's Called Soccer podcast Twitter account, we have a link to our Discord and I am on there and easy to access as Trebuchet Girl. So
they have a Discord.
Yes.
Shabby and Shabby. I mean,
we
could have a Discord if you
we
wanted
could.
To.
But, I mean, you won't let us have a vlog, so we might as well get something else.
this face is not for for YouTube, y'all. So.
Oh, it's okay. I've been told for a long, long time that I have a face for radio and a voice for books.
A voice for books?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Well, I know. I mean, listen, I would listen to an audiobook narrated by you.
Oh, well, you know, I actually do have some out there if you ever.
You do?
Anyway. Yeah, I really have. I have narrated audiobooks. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Now, do you do voices or is it just do you act any or is it just, do you just narrate?
I do act a little. Yeah, I do.
Sweet. We may have to find some of that. I may have to steal some of that audio and throw it into the podcast once or twice.
Oh, please don't.
Well, Shabby, while people are searching for you in audiobook land, how can they find you on the socials?
On the socials, easiest way to find me is going to be at Twitter at Shabby Bell, SHABYBELLE.
And Shelly, how about you? How can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
And as always, you can find, mute me, block me, whatever you want to do, at least for the time being, until Elon screws up Twitter even more, at Chattagooner. And until then, y'all, we'll see you on the interwebs. Go CFC.
Go Blue.
Shuffle, little shake off the Amazon, the crossbar. Sounds nice to the chips.